band.
Yes, this is our usual intro music, so you'll hear that, and then we'll kind of, you know, I don't know, we can talk to either one of you first. It really doesn't matter.
Rob, I didn't get him the parking passes. That was supposed to be Joey from the new intern from Pratt.
Yeah, I have to drive around. Like,
come on, Joey. Yeah, I'm really sorry about that.
They're bastards about ticketing, so.
Joey!
You know, if you get tickets, you know our boss, Nora, send them to Nora. No. Get tickets.
She'll hook you up. But it is kind of disappointing, so, well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry we didn't work out that.
Interesting, we were talking kind of about career stuff and career hopes and dreams and moments of disappointment. Is that okay if we get into some of that? I mean, Dan, you had some interesting things to say, but Katie, like, do you have moments that you'd want to talk about? Like, what kind of things have you been thinking about?
Well, you were talking earlier about how the process and like context for publishing changes and how like books are made. And like, it made me think about when self-publishing first became a thing. And that was right around the time that I wrote, wasn't my first book, but the first one that I thought might be like viable.
What was the title of that one?
It's called Downburst.
Downburst.
And so I wrote it in between my first and second year of grad school. So I was in the second year of my PhD. So
that's hard working, period.
Yeah. So I didn't have a ton of time to like invest in shopping it around. I sent it out to I sent queries to a few agents, but only just like a small handful. And then I was like, Amazon had just come out with this new, like all these new options for self-publishing. And I was like, oh, that seems like that would be an easy way to like just share my work with, you know, friends and family and just kind of get something out there. And having kind of control over like how the final product looked and everything was really appealing to me. But yeah, little did I know how time intensive that would be.
Yeah. Well, it would be interesting for us to get into a little bit, like, what does self-publishing feel like to you now? Is it like in the poetry world, Dan, is it like, in my youth, there was still kind of a stigma. It was really that gatekeeping and stamp of approval was important, but has that changed?
I think in the poetry world, self-publishing has been always something happening because you have chapbooks and zines, which were all self-publishing, right? A bunch of, you know, creative writing, like maniacs would get together being like, we want to put stuff out. No one's listening to us. You know, let's do it ourselves and staple it together. And at the Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics, which is the writing school at Naropa, there was a bunch of zines that came out. One, you know, Monkey Puzzle was one, which was really an amazing zine. And it started out where you just staple it together. You know, we would staple that, you know, my friend Nate Jordan would just staple that together and we just pass it around.
And then could you restaple it together in any order, like a puzzle? Or
why not? Right? You just rip it apart and just put it together in another puzzle. Awesome. Yeah. But, and then also I had something that I was doing for a few years with some people online where we would do an online zine. So we were publishing poetry and fiction and videos and photos from all over the world and music. So I think in the poetry world, self-publishing has always been something. But I think when you get to the idea of like calling it self-publishing, there's some sort of stigma to that. But if like it's like zine, then people are like that.
Right, that's really interesting. Yeah, that's interesting as a label. Like, let me just, I don't have a pencil. I got to write that because I want to talk about that on the show.
Didn't they call it vanity publishing? I remember that was like a term.
That was the old slam, yeah.
Yeah, that was just because you would pay to physically have like copies of your book made, right?
Yeah.
And now, so like, what I would call it indie publishing.
Yes. That's so interesting. Yeah, that's so interesting.
But like Amazon had a feature, it was like print on demand, basically. So when someone ordered a book, then they would print it up and ship it. So you weren't paying in advance to have all these books printed.
Well, we have a little surprise for you because we've got over there in that corner behind your chair, open up that box and you will find 2,000 copies of Downburst that we had, we had manufactured. We had them printed and we have some pens and we're really hoping that you'll sign them for us so that we could resell them on
eBay. Awesome. Yeah, and just like, just the only thing, remember to look just as surprised and sound as surprised when we do it for real. But yeah, we don't like to really ambush people with stuff like
that. We're gonna have to take a little bit of money out of the payment, you know, for what we were gonna pay you for this episode to print those. But then once you sell the copies, once we sell, you'll recoup the money.
Hey, Mark, I'm gonna just ask you right now because this whole self-publishing thing, I have so many stories that I could tell and I could really get into back when I was a young struggling writer thing, but I really don't want to. So blow the whistle on me. Don't let me do that because guests are a lot more interesting than my old stories. I do have one question though too, and again, I don't want to.
Whistle isn't working the way it used.
Interrupting myself. Did you, Dan, in your beat poetry stuff? Did you come across a poet, Ted Jones, J-O-A-N-S?
Yeah.
Ted Jones? Yeah, because he was my mentor when I first graduated from college. He showed me how to live cheap in Paris, and I lived in Paris, and he would bring people by the boat that I was living on.
Wow.
Yeah, he was scraping
by as an illegal immigrant.
Yeah, we came across Ted Jones. Ann Waldman would come there all the time. She was a huge, she started the school, so she was always there. You know, I got to read with her in New York as well. And just a lot of amazing writers came through. It was just a weird space to kind of be a part of. You know, you were allowed to do whatever you wanted creatively. There was no real aesthetic. It was just whatever you wanted to do, do that. And it's just like, great.
That's awesome.
Be weird. So it was kind of an interesting space. Yeah.
That is the exact opposite of what a school is intended to do.
I better get to my shower or I'm not going to be ready for the show. So I'm going to have to hightail it.
All right. Well, we're working on installing those shower mics.
Oh, that's good. How is Jody doing? Because I know he had to go to the hospital because of that shock.
I think she got a little electrical burn. So I mean, I think she'll recover.
Gonna be back, okay?
I don't know. We'll see. We have a card going around the office. Maybe Dan and Katie can sign it too.
Awesome. So, okay, I think it sounds, I can't wait, and you're both going to be great, and let me go get cleaned up, and we'll do our thing.
Perfect.
Great. Yeah. Sounds great.
Sounds good.
As long as we get those tickets paid for.
We're working on it.
I have to go check my meter now.
All right.